Good morning again. I didn't really get to say that. If I speak too low, give me a thumb or something. I fade out. I'm half deaf. I've exposed myself to noises that you can't imagine. I was a carrier sailor. I was up on the deck sometimes just watching the jets. I thought it was fascinating. And I didn't realize how badly that roar was going to kill me off later. So let me know if I fade out. That was special and wonderful. God's good to us. The title of this message is What If? Normally, I don't worry about titles. But think about that question, what if, for a second. An estimated 500,000 tons of water rush over Niagara Falls every minute. 500,000 tons of water per minute go over Niagara Falls. That's a lot of water. On March 29th, 1948, Niagara Falls stopped, just shut off. People living within the sound of the falls were awakened by the overwhelming silence. They believed that it was a sign that the world was coming to an end. It would be different, wouldn't it? You're used to all this noise and all of a sudden, it's kind of the opposite of what we have, isn't it? You can be out in the farm ground, you know, messing around, and all of a sudden there's a lot of noise. It's the opposite. It was 30 hours before that rush of water resumed, and what happened was heavy winds had moved ice fields in Lake Erie, and tons of that ice jammed the entrance to the Niagara River. And until that ice was moved out by more water pressure and winds going the other way, it stopped the falls. Just a crazy circumstance. Those who lived nearby thought that the world was coming to an end. It is an eerie type of feeling to think that you might be living in your last day. You ever do that? You ever think this might be it? I have numerous times. Before Sandy and I had our house built with a basement room for this kind of thing, we had looked at the weather because it was kind of gnarly and tornadic. And the weatherman said, I have 7 rotations on the map. And he called out where they were, and they were coming right at us. And so we thought, it's a bad idea to sit here in this little pole barn that I had built with metal siding and just wait. So we left and we went to a nearby little country store that had a house next door, and we knew nobody was living in that house, but it had a basement. And so we went down in that basement. There were several people there. We weren't alone, but we were the only ones that were kind of weirdly calm. We sat in a corner in a couple lawn chairs and prayed together and talked about what if. What if this was it? And the other people were reacting kind of crazy because they were deathly afraid. What if it was? We were like, more like, so what? And they were like, oh, this is bad. What about you? If this were the last day of your life, how would you live it? Would that scare you, or would you just pray and trust in God? How would you live it if this was it? What if? We live our lives as though we're in control, and yet we often find out that we're not. I know we didn't feel very powerful in that storm system, but I also believe that God intervened. I don't think it was coincidental that no one got hurt or even had any property damage, but I wonder if I'm going to be that calm the next time that I'm looking out and thinking, golly, is this it? Am I going to know? It may be that I'm going to be alive as the church is raptured out of this world. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17, Paul tells us what is going to happen if we're alive in that day. He wrote, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now let's stop for just a second right there. That's going to be noisy. You're going to know it. It's like Niagara Falls shutting off when God says it's time. You're going to know. Everybody on the planet is going to know. He's going to shout it out. What if? The dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. I told the church one time when I was preaching, I said, I want to be dead when Christ comes back. And they're like, why? That's weird. And I said, I want to be first. The dead in Christ rise first. I don't think that's weird. I think that's smart. I want to fly up there first. I want to be watching that and saying, man, I sure hope I'm going to. I want to be flying and saying, whoa, yeah. It's kind of a dumb thought, but, you know, I had it. That could be our end that we face, you know. It would be the end of this physical life as we know it. And I doubt that I would be calm during that, but I wouldn't be scared. But suppose I end up as one of the dead in Christ that rise up first. That means my death has come in a different way. How should we face that as Christians? How should we face death? You might think that's an odd question to ask, but it's not. Because it's part of life. The end of it. It really is. It may not be a pleasant type of thought, but if we deal with our deaths, then we can get on with our lives. Right? Yeah. So let's deal with it, okay? Let's just do that. Get that over with and move on, living powerfully in Christ. Because death, for you as a Christian, is no big deal. It's like me walking over to that kitchen and pushing that door open and walking through it because I am in Christ. That's all it is. Yes, this failing, aching mess is going to be laying there, and I'm not going to be carrying that anymore. The rest of it's the same. For some reason, God chose to give me this crazy sense of humor. And I'm me, and he has saved me, and that's okay. I'm going just like this, spiritually. What a mess he saved, huh? I'm okay with that. There are many Christians who face the fact that they might not live much longer. One of them is golf professional Paul Azinger. He just won the 1993 PGA Championship and had 10 tournament victories to his credit when he discovered that he had cancer. And his entire perspective on life changed. And he wrote about that. He said, the next thing I know, I'm lying in an x-ray room on this ice-cold table. And as the technician adjusted the machines, I began to feel this fear that I would die of cancer. But then another reality hit me even harder. I'm going to die anyway, whether from cancer or something else. I'm definitely going to die. It's just a matter of when and how. True. In that same moment, something Larry Moody, the man who leads our Bible study on the PGA Tour, had said to me many times came to mind. Zinger, he said, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying going to the land of the living. Yeah. My major championship, my 10 victories before that, everything I had accomplished in golf became meaningless to me. It's amazing how a brush with death or even the serious thought of its possible arrival brings us through all of the trash in our lives. Nothing else mattered, right? The stuff that we let get us wound up all of a sudden becomes meaningless. Who cares if you're behind a schedule that you made? Who cares about any of that garbage, really? Does it matter? No. No, not a bit. We end up with real clarity of thought. Nothing much gets in the way. It's in these dark moments that we live our purest life, and that's pretty amazing. Thinking about death makes you really live. Sandy and I call that the blessing of the curse, because we've looked at that more than once. The Apostle Paul was a great example of living in light of dying. It seemed that the worse his own circumstances became, the more focused he became in his service for Christ. Listen to all of his life-threatening scenarios according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul tells us, "Are they servants of Christ? I am more." And right in the parentheses, I love this. He said, "I'm out of my mind to talk like this." Somehow, I relate to that. "Are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?" What do we have that he didn't have? If there was ever a man who faced death as often as Paul, I don't know of him, and yet Paul didn't just fall apart and try to live out all of his fantasies on a bucket list trip. That seems to be the popular thought nowadays. Well, doesn't it? Let's go backwards here a minute. Stop that. He did what we would want to do. He prayed, he counted on God, and he kept on going. And it was as pure as humanity could possibly be. And I think that's what God expects out of us, his people. You pray, you count on God, and you put one foot in front of the other. And you keep going. He accepted whatever God had in store for him with faith, and he knew that God had a purpose in all of those things, and he searched for it in every circumstance. Now again, I have to ask you this question. If this was one of those days where you faced your physical limitations, would it change your perspective? Bless you. I like that. I saw a cartoon in the paper, as stupid as it is. There was this devil, and it sneezed. And this other demon next to it said, "Curse you." I have this sense of humor thing, and I can't get past it. I'm sorry. So distracting. There is so much to life and living, and if we learn to really live with the awareness of what truly matters, maybe we won't miss out on the gifts that God brings. All of us live in a breakneck pace in our lives and always working, always running, always going. And this time of year is really bad about that. It is. We were talking about that on the way to church, Sandy and I. It's like, wow, what happened since last week? 9 million things, that's what. It's the same for all of us. We miss so much of God and so much peace in here that comes from thinking about Him and the power that He has and the power that He gives us. I told a fellow that I work with the other day, we go through life not even conscious of God's power in us and through us, supposed to be exerted on the world around us. We ignore it, and so that doesn't happen like He wants it to happen. Think about that. God's power is in you through the Holy Spirit, and your place in this place and outside of this place is to spread Him around. And if you're too busy, you're not spreading. Sometimes you have to stop. Smell the coffee. So much of what we miss out on in our lives isn't really that impossible to achieve or to find. It just doesn't get done because we're busy. Most of our schedule is really unnecessary. It's just what we choose to do. It's what we choose to do. Think about that. So today, the message for you is this. Take care of eternal matters in your life right away, and don't put that off. And then focus your lives more on God than on your schedule. Don't worry about going and achieving something crazy, some bucket list thing, because that doesn't matter. You take back your life from the world's ways, it really isn't going to matter in eternity if you had 3 cars or 85. Doesn't matter how big your house was. None of that stuff matters. None of it. At all. That's not the measure of you. We just took communion. The measure of you is in what God thinks of you. And He died for you. You're pretty valuable. We have to pick and choose where we're going in life and choose to value your life by trusting in Christ as your Savior, first of all, and then choose to value the people in your lives. And men, I'm going to tell you something. You need to love your wives. Stop. And I'm talking to myself. I'm looking in the mirror. Stop and look at your wife and love her. It's your first call. And then wives, turn and look at that messed up guy beside you and love him and communicate that once in a while. It's important. That's your balance. And if you're a parent, don't be hard on your kids. Let your little boy get dirty once in a while. Remember what it was like to go outside and play in the dirt? Go do that with them. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Take time for yourself once in a while. Enjoy relaxing. That was the hardest thing in the world for me to do till I got a little bit older. I would sit in my recliner. You'd think I'd be relaxing. I'd be tense because I was supposed to be doing something. If you think that's nuts, ask my wife. It's true. Don't let the stupid things in life rule you, or Satan is going to eat you for lunch, people. And he's going to enjoy the snack. The Christians of this world ought to be the most upbeat group of all time. They're the only ones who shouldn't fear death, and the rest really shouldn't get us down either. If death doesn't worry you, what else is there? And so you have this bravado and this joy, people think we're crazy. He's always laughing. Okay, I ought to be. God took care of the hard stuff. I ought to be. Why are we down? Because we let something get us down. Right? Paul Azinger recovered from his cancer and even returned to the PGA Tour, and he wrote about his ordeal. He said, I've made a lot of money since I've been on the tour, and I won a lot of tournaments. And that happiness is always temporary. The only way you will ever have true contentment is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that nothing ever bothers me and that I don't have problems, but I feel like I've found the answer to that 6-foot hole. I know where I'll spend eternity. And I have a promise that as a child of God, He'll let me deal with anything. He promises to give me contentment no matter what life brings, even cancer. Contentment with cancer. Yeah, it can happen. God did not intend this world to be the best of all places, but it's a place where we can prepare for the best of all places. And so we have to do that. What if? What if this was your last day? All I can say to that is, so what? I'm okay with that. Because if this is my last day on this planet, I'm good. Seriously. If he leaves me around for another week, you're stuck with me again. There you go. So you pray whatever way you want it to happen. And enjoy yourself, because you're not going to bum me out either way. There are parts of our lives which are really essential, but they aren't as numerous as we'd like to believe. I want you to go home and make yourself a list of absolute essentials. Just make a little list. Take a few minutes. Homework is always good. Ask your kids. Make yourself a list of what is absolutely essential in your life. That list is going to change as you age. I guarantee it. When you get that done, you prioritize the rest of your lives and learn how to smile again. My list reads like this. 1, my soul has to be in Christ. 2, my wife has to be cared for. And 3, I have to have a job as much as I don't like it. But I have to make my way, and I have to contribute in some way. I have to work. I'm made to work. Adam and Eve were made to work in the garden. It's what we're geared for. But that's it. The rest of it doesn't matter. Oh, sure, I've got stuff I've got to do. I've got to cut firewood and blah, blah. Who cares? If this is my last day, I'm going to have to worry about starting that chainsaw up ever again. I'm good with that. If your essentials list doesn't have your soul in Christ on it, you need to make that happen right away, because you never know what tomorrow might bring. The rapture of the church could happen. A tornado could come. A car crash, whatever. Something could take away your opportunity. Don't let that go. Don't let that happen. Seal yourself for heaven in Christ. And you've taken care of the 6-foot hole. And the rest doesn't even matter. It doesn't. And with that, are you ready for Christmas? I thought I'd better make you laugh. That was a little too serious to end on. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful to you for this day and thankful to you for this group that has come together to worship. And I pray that your hand will be on each person and each family that you'll lift each one, that you'll help us to find that our lives are really, truly easier with you. And I pray that you'll take the pressure and the stress out of us and help us to love each other and help us to serve each other. And I thank you for blessing us in Jesus. In his name we pray.